Sometimes we are very impatient people.
Yes.
We're impatient with people around us.
Much.
We're impatient with God. We're impatient with spouses. I can personally say I'm impatient with other drivers on the road where they think they're drivers. Most of them are not. I told my wife they ought to make people go take a driving test every year, see if they can still do it, because I think most of them can't. That's my opinion. I'm very impatient. My wife says, "You're real patient." I said, no, I'm not. But we get impatient a lot of times about a lot of things, but mostly we get impatient with God. God is not somebody you want to get impatient with. You can't rush him. You can't make him hurry up. You're not going to gouge him with a stick or an electric shock stick or something and make him go any faster. He's just what he is. He's going to do what he's going to do in his time. And so I want to read this morning from Romans 5, starting with verse number 1. The Bible said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Yes. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. We ask you, God, just to anoint the preaching today, anoint the preacher. Lord, I ask you, Father, to help me to bring this message the way that you want it brought. Lord, help us, Father, today to learn patience. Lord, we don't ask for patience. We just ask you to help us to learn patience. Lord, be with us this morning, Father. Touch this congregation. Touch every heart here today, Lord, the way that you need to and the way they need you to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, I know people, I've seen people and heard people that they pray for patience. I said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Because the trying of our faith worketh patience. Now, I wouldn't care to have a little more patience, but I don't need any more trying in my faith. And if you pray for patience, that's what you're going to get, a trial of faith. And the Bible said here, Paul said we're justified by faith. It's only faith that saves us this morning, the grace of God and our faith coupled together. But I want to preach this morning the help of the Lord from verse number 6. The Bible said, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly."
Amen.
If I would have a thought this morning, it would be in due time. And I know that everything that happens in God's time, not in my time. There's things that I want to see, and I want to see now. But God's not like that. And we're living in a fast age. We're living in a time when we don't have much patience with anything. You don't put anything on the stove to cook anymore. That takes too long. Stick it in a microwave only takes a few seconds. We're living in a fast pace. We're living in a generation of fast food and instant everything. And there's no time for anybody to wait on nothing. And I want to tell you something. You're going to have to wait for God, because He does things when He gets ready and not when you get ready. You say, "God, give me patience, but hurry up. That's not the way God works. He may give you patience, but it'll take a while to get it. Isaiah said in verse number 31 in the 40th chapter, he said, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint."
Amen.
I read that verse this morning, and it kind of leads me to believe that if you don't wait upon the Lord, then when you run, you will be weary, and when you walk, you will faint. He said if you wait on the Lord, that won't happen. But listen, we've got so many today that they're going to try to run ahead of God. They're going to try to drag God with them. And listen, that's not even possible. You ever see a child, they going somewhere with mom and dad, and they want to lead the way, but they don't know where they're going? That's why you need to stay behind, or at least beside. And he said, "They that wait upon the Lord." I got no choice but to wait on the Lord this morning because I don't know the way. Thomas told Jesus when there in the 14th chapter of John, when Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you shall be also." And Thomas said, "How are we going to get there? We don't know the way." Jesus just said, "I am the way, and I'm coming back to get you, to take you where we're going." Listen, if we'll just wait on the Lord and see what He says and see what He's going to do. I tell you, this could be the best day of somebody's life because Jesus could save you this morning. Say, "Preacher, I'm already saved." Well, I hope you are. And it's never been my intention to ever make anybody doubt their salvation. But it is my intention to make everybody be certain that they are saved. Because I want to tell you something. This thing is going to come to an end one day.
Yes.
The Bible gives us about four things I thought about this morning that God has promised different people different things. The first thing that came to my mind was that God made Abraham two promises. He said to Abraham, he said, "You come and go with me and come out from among your kindred and your family and your home and go to a land that I'm going to show you." Abraham walked with God, didn't have a clue where he was going, didn't know how he would even know when he got there. Abraham knew nothing except God said, "Come with me." And Abraham went with God. And if we'll do that this morning, God will bless you. I guarantee you that you'll be blessed if you will come out and walk with God. But God made Abraham two promises, probably made more than that. But in the 13th chapter, in verse number 15, God said, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and thy seed forever. Now Abraham can look around here, and God said, "Everything that you see, I'm going to give it to you and your seed." Now it's time for Abraham to have a little faith because he can see what God said He's going to give him, but Abraham has no seed. God, if you're going to give it to me and my seed forever, I guess when I die, it's going to be over with. Well, that ain't what God said, you see. Sometimes we need to just be patient and wait on the Lord. Now, I know what Abraham was thinking. "God, I'm getting up close to 100 years old." He was around 80, I guess, at the time when this promise was made. Best I can figure, Abraham was around 80. He was already too old to have children. Sarah wasn't too far behind him, and she certainly was out of the age of bearing children. But God said, "I'm going to give you a seed." And the 16th verse of the 13th chapter, He said, "I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth." So, if you can count the dust of the earth, then you'll be able to count all your children. And Abraham looked around and said, I can count them now. Zero. You see, what God says and what we see sometimes is two different things, but listen, it's going to happen in due time when God says so. Abraham looked around. He said, well, you're going to give me all this to me and my seed, and I don't have any seed. God said, I'm going to make your seed like the dust of the earth. Yeah. I believe 20 years went by. According to the date in the Scofield Bible, now how accurate that is, I don't know, but I imagine it probably pretty close. Somebody sat down and figured all this stuff out, and I just sit down and look at the dates and add and subtract. That's how I figure it out. At how close I am, I don't know. But according to the dates in the Bible, it was around 20 years from the time that God made the promise to Abraham that he was going to make his seed as the sand of the sea. Now listen, God has said, I'm going to give you bunches and bunches of children, and 20 years later, the number is still zero. I guess I could see where somebody's faith would wait. But not Abraham. Abraham was a faithful man. He trusted God. Amen. He believed God for anything God said. It didn't matter what years said or what time said. It didn't matter any of that stuff. Abraham was believing God. Yes. And Abraham depended on God. Amen. And 20 years after the promise was made, Isaac was born.
Amen.
Well, 40 more years went by. He sent down and got Isaac a bride and brought her to Isaac. But as of now, Abraham can say, now I can count my seed, one. Because that's all there is. Been 60 years since God said, I'm going to make your seed as the sand by the sea. And he's got one person. He said, if anybody can count the sand and the dust, they can count your seed. Well, I don't have to be able to count the dust. I can count to one. But Abraham still believed God, because in due time, God's promises will come to pass.
Amen.
That's the thing that we've got to realize and remember today. Sometimes we want God to do something and we want it right now. We don't have time to wait. Well, you might as well find time to wait, because God will do it when God says it's time to do it.
Amen.
And not a minute before.
Amen.
So Sarah and Abraham had a son. They named him Isaac.
Yes.
And God had made that other promise that I'm going to give you the land all around you. Well, Abraham didn't. The only thing Abraham had up to this point was a burying place for where he put Sarah when she died. He went and bought a burial plot to bury his kindred in, and that's the only possession of land that Abraham had. His whole life, he was a trespasser on other people's land. And God said, I'm going to give you all of this. And Abraham thinking, I don't know when, because I'm way over 100 years old and I don't have anything yet that you said I'm going to have. But listen, Abraham didn't think like that. Abraham believed God. Abraham knew that if God said it, God meant it, and God would bring it to pass. And I'll tell you something today, if we'll get the mindset that Abraham had and realize that if the Bible says it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen just exactly the way that God said it would.
Amen.
And if we can just learn to believe God, we'll have these things.
Amen.
It was 40 years to Isaac. 20 years to Isaac. 40 more years, Isaac got married. Not too many years after that, Abraham died. At 175 years old. And he's holding on to the promise of God, but that's all he's got. That's all that he has, the promise that God has made to him. But he died holding on to that promise.
Amen.
Bible said in James chapter number 2, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.
Amen.
Wouldn't you like to be called a friend of God today? Well, all you got to do is believe God and have faith in God and believe what he says, and according to the Bible it was imputed to Abraham for righteousness, and God called him his friend.
Amen.
God, Abraham walked all over the place for 100 years or longer, and carrying the promise that God had made to him. Not anything else except a promise. That's all it was. God just said he was going to do this. You remember when he sent his servant down there to get Rebecca and bring her back? Of course, he didn't know it was Rebecca. He said, go down to my people and get my son a bride and bring her up here. And the servant said, what if she won't come? Can I take Isaac back down there? And Abraham, he came unglued a little bit. He said, under no circumstances are you to take my son back to that place, because God's promise is he's going to give this land to me and my seed. And he can't give this to us if we're not here.
Bless him, Lord. Amen.
You see, God can't bless a lot of people because they won't stay under the spout where the blessings are coming out.
Amen.
They need to be in a certain place that God can bless them, and they're running everywhere in the world trying to find their own blessing. And if they just stand still, as the Bible said in Isaiah, and wait upon the Lord, if that's what we would do, then I'll guarantee you God would bless us.
Amen.
A lot of people are not blessable. You hear Brother Woody say that a lot of times. I say that a lot of times.
Bless him.
I found out blessable is not even a word. That's mine, Brother Woody's word. If we ever write a dictionary, that'll be found in the very front of it. But some people are not blessable because they have no faith in God. They're not going to obey God. They're not going to do anything that God says. They're not going to go where God says to go. They're not going to, they're just living their own life, doing their own thing. They're like a ship tossed in the water. And I'll tell you something, until you light and buckle your feet down and put your roots where God said to put them, you're not blessable.
Bless him.
We've got to do what God said in order to receive the blessing. And Abraham said, no, sir, don't you dare take my son back down there, because God said he was giving us this place, not that place. We need to stay close to God. Abraham died at age 175. And he died with the hope. He died with the belief that God was going to do what God said he's going to do.
Amen.
God said, I'm going to make a great nation of you.
Amen.
He did. I've got one son. That's a great nation. But that wasn't it. See, that is the promised son, but that's not the full promise. And God is still going to do what God said he was going to do. Well, Abraham's dead. I want to tell you something. God don't need Abraham to fulfill the promise that he made to Abraham. The promises of God are from God and not from you and me.
Amen.
He don't need your help. He can bless without your help. And so Abraham died looking for the promise of God.
Yeah.
And I looked on the internet this morning when I was looking over this stuff, and you know, the estimated population of the Jewish people around the world this morning is 16 million. Now, I don't think Abraham could count all them, do you? You see, God did what God said God was going to do. And listen, this 16 million, this is even after Hitler killed 5 to 6 million of them in the Holocaust.
Yes.
The world has tried to stamp out the Jewish nation, and God just keeps blessing and multiplying.
Amen.
Why? Because He told Abraham in the 16th verse of the 13th chapter of Genesis, I'm going to make your seed like the dust of the earth. Listen, God said it. God will do what God said.
Amen.
And Abraham died believing God, and God has brought it to pass.
Amen.
All we got to do is believe Him. Another thing, second promise that I want to talk about, God promised He would send Jesus into this world. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 15, first place that Jesus, not by name. Now don't go over there and look and try to find Jesus over there, because you won't find Him. You won't find the name Jesus. But God told the devil, He said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Amen.
Jesus died on the cross. The devil thought he'd really done something. All he did was bruise Jesus' heel. But Jesus kicked him in the head.
Oh.
I want to tell you something. The devil trying to destroy God, trying to destroy the work of God. And he put Jesus on the cross, not realizing that that's the very thing that would make it where he could never stop
it. Amen.
Listen, the devil ain't real smart. He's tactical. He'll come to you. He'll bring everything in the world and try to tempt you with things that you haven't even thought about. And the devil will do that. But he's not real smart. You see, if he'd have been real smart, he wouldn't have never crucified Jesus. Because that's the worst thing he could have done. The Bible said in Genesis 3:15, He said, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman's seed. And you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your brain, buddy. He's going to bruise your head. The Bible said in Deuteronomy, you know something? It was from the time that God told the devil that, they're still in the Garden of Eden. It was 4,000 years before Jesus was born in the city of Bethlehem. It was 4,000 years went by. Where's the promise of God? It wasn't in 1,000 years. It wasn't in 2,000 years. It wasn't in 3,000 years. But in 4,000 years, it finally came to pass. I want to tell you something. God's not in no hurry. He's got control of everything, and you're not going to make Him hurry.
Right. Preach it.
People say, well, I know what God said back there, but I don't think He's going to do it. Yeah, He will. Just wait on it. Just wait. Just wait for it. It's coming.
Yes.
Deuteronomy chapter 18, the Lord thy God will raise up to thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Now this is the words of Moses when he's out there in the wilderness wandering around. And he said, God's going to raise up another prophet like unto me, and you'll hear him. Well, it was 1,400 more years after that before Jesus was born in the little town of Bethlehem. These people said, Moses said, there's another prophet coming. Every time a woman had a child, they probably said, is that the prophet? No, that's not him. After 100 years, they may have quit looking. After 500 years, they may have stopped looking. After 1,000 years, they already been in Babylonian captivity and came back out. I imagine they about give up. They went through 400 years of dark ages when there was no word from God during that point in time. And I'm just about certain they gave up. But then all of a sudden, that star lit up in the east.
Amen.
And here comes Jesus right on time.
Amen.
In due time, God will fulfill His promises.
Amen.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Just exactly when God said He would be. Listen, the Bible says in Isaiah 7:14, Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. 750 years passed before Emmanuel came on the scene. You think people might have said, well, Isaiah, he's a pretty good prophet, but I think he missed it this time. I've never seen a virgin have a child, and I'll tell you, that this ain't going to happen. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You can say whatever you want to say, but if God said it, it's going to happen.
Amen.
Well, I think it already have happened. And listen, God didn't ask you when you think it ought to happen. He's just going to let it happen when it's His time, when He's good and ready. That's when it'll happen.
Amen.
And not until then.
Amen.
Matthew chapter number 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. 4,000 years after God told the devil, 1,400 years after Moses told the children of Israel, 750 years after Isaiah told them over there, and all of a sudden, here comes the promise. And the birth of Jesus was on this wise. Behold, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Is he late? No. In due time, he came. Because in due time is when all of God's promises are going to come to pass.
Amen.
In due time.
Amen.
We know what due time is. We know exactly what due time means. And that's when all the promises of God are going to take place in due time. Third thing that I want to mention this morning, Jesus is going to return.
Amen.
God sent His Son. Let me back up here just a minute. The Bible said that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now listen, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 said, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. You know what that means? Before God ever said, let there be light, Jesus was already making preparation to come and die on the cross.
Preach him, Lord.
You think about that. Over 4,000 years in advance, the plan was set into motion for Jesus to come and die on the cross of Calvary.
Preach him, Lord.
He said that the plan was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but it was made manifest in these last times for you. That's what
Amen.
Peter told the people that he was writing to over there. He said God made it manifest for you. Listen, we are to be proud to be the people that Jesus was sent for.
Amen.
We are to be thankful to be the ones that Jesus came for.
Amen.
He came to save the world. And I'm part of that world. Bible said in Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent His Son. Made of a woman. Made under the law in due time. To redeem them that were under the law. That we might receive the adoption of sons. God gave us the plan of salvation, which gave us an avenue to get into the family of God. And we have the ability through Christ Jesus and His blood shed on Calvary to become sons of God.
Amen.
I believe Paul said that's why we cry, Abba, Father. Listen, He's my Father today through Jesus Christ's blood. That's how it took place. And it happened in God's due time.
Amen.
Jesus is going to return and take the church home one day. When's that going to happen, preacher? I don't even look for it anymore. You better start looking for it. I've heard that all my life and it hasn't happened yet. No, it hasn't happened yet. Do you know what has happened? It's been many years went by since I first heard it. So you know what? That means that's how many years closer it is
Amen.
To coming to pass.
Yep.
So it hasn't happened yet, but it's getting closer with every passing day. Jesus is going to come and receive His bride. Now, I'm part of that bride. I'm part of the bride of Christ. I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm born into the family of God. I'm born again and I'm part of the body. I don't know what part I am. I know Jesus is the head, and the rest of us are, we've got a place somewhere.
Amen.
I may just be the one joint on the little toe. I don't know. You say, well, that ain't very important. Well, cut your little toe off and see how important it is. Every member of the body is important, no matter what part it is.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm probably one of those least important parts. Well, let me ask you something. Which part of your body would you like to do without? Well, I don't want to do without none of it. Then it's all important, right? Is that what you're saying? It's all important. And I'm part of that through the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary.
Amen.
I'm glad to be part of that.
Yes.
And that body is what Jesus is coming back for.
Amen.
If you're not saved, He's not coming back for you.
Bless you.
I want you to understand that.
Preaching.
Say, well, I've got friends that's saved. That's good, but I'll tell you something. Unless you're saved, He's not coming for you.
Preaching.
My mom and dad's saved. That's good. I'm glad they are. But unless you're saved, He's coming for them, but not for you.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm telling you this morning? If you're not born again into the family of God, if you're not part of the body of Christ, when Jesus comes in the clouds of glory, you will be left behind.
Amen.
You will be left behind. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel,
Amen.
And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Yes.
Now, if I happen to go by the grave, you say, boy, Brother Dave, he died looking for Jesus, but he didn't see him. Didn't change the promise in him.
That's right.
See, a lot of people have died looking for Jesus. That did not change the promise, not one little bit. The promise is made, and the promise will come to pass, and it doesn't make a difference to whether you're dead or alive. It's not going to hinder nor change the promise of God in any way.
Amen.
Paul wrote to this Thessalonian church, and he said, the Lord Himself's going to descend from heaven with a voice, with a shout, and with the trump of God.
Yes.
And the dead in Christ are going to rise first.
Yes.
So if you're dead, what about you? You're coming first. You're coming first. People used to preach, and I guess I've been guilty of it too. Say Gabriel's going to step out and blow a trumpet. I don't think Gabriel even owns a trumpet. He may have, but he's not going to blow it when Jesus comes. Listen, John the Revelator said, I heard a voice like a trumpet, and I turned around and looked, and there stood Jesus.
Hey.
Listen, His voice is like a trumpet. That's what the trumpet's going to be, is Jesus stepping out on the clouds and saying, come up hither.
Amen.
Or something to that nature. That'll be the trump of God. Listen, the trumpet will be when Jesus cries out, just like He did in the days when Lazarus was laid in the tomb for 4 days. And they said he stinks. And Jesus said, when I blow the trumpet, he ain't going to stink. And when they rolled the stone away, he said, Lazarus, come forth.
Amen.
Amen.
If he'd have just said, come forth, every dead person that ever died would come out.
Amen.
And he said, Lazarus, come forth.
Yes.
And Lazarus came forth.
Amen.
One day after a while, even if I go by the way of the grave, don't you worry about it. Because hey, I'm like Abraham. I may die looking for the promise, but I'm still going to believe God no matter what happens.
Amen.
And when the trumpet sounds, you better not be standing on my grave, because I'll turn you over.
Amen.
When the trump of God sounds, I'm coming up. Old preacher friend of ours died. They was burying him, and they had that grave tamper, that thing that jumps up and down on one leg, runs on a lawnmower engine. Man, they was packing him in. His daughter walked over there where that man was at and said, sir, He said, yes. She said, go ahead and pack him in as good as you can. When Jesus comes, he's still coming out.
Amen.
You can't bury him deep enough. You can't bury him tight enough. You can't, I don't care if you pour the vault and the grave full of concrete. When Jesus comes, if they're saved, they're coming out of there.
Amen. Praise God.
You can bank on that. I may die, but I'll die like Abraham. I'll die believing that Jesus is coming. Listen, I'm looking for him. I'm looking for him. And not only am I looking for him, looking for the signs of his coming, I'm listening for the sound.
Amen.
The trumpet could be the next sound I hear.
Yes.
He's coming, folks. I'm telling you, he is. And there ain't nothing nobody going to do to stop it. He said, the dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You see, that's why the dead rise first. I've told you this. They got 6 foot farther to go.
Right.
If it's a military burial, they got 12 foot farther to go, because military funeral and the military cemeteries, they bury the spouse. Wait, whichever one dies first is buried down on the bottom, the other one on top, in the same grave. So they got to come twice as far. But that's not a problem. Don't you worry about it, because the dead going to rise first before any of the rest of us are ever changed. In a moment, a twinkle of an eye, before we're all called up to heaven, we're all going to be on the same plane.
Amen. Preaching.
The dead going to rise first. Then those of us which are alive and remain be caught up together with them in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And the last thing he said was, wherefore comfort one another with these words. When's this going to happen? In due time.
Amen.
In due time it's going to happen. Maybe not today. Maybe today. Maybe not tomorrow, but maybe tomorrow. We don't know when, but I know one thing. When God says, son, it's time, I believe it'll be time and it'll happen.
Amen.
And I'm just glad I'm ready.
Praise God.
You may sit here this morning, you say, well, I'm not ready, but I got plenty of time. But this ain't never going to happen anyway in my lifetime. I want to tell you something. You don't know how much time you got. I read the obituaries every morning. You say, boy, that's morbid. It's just something I got used to when I was working in the funeral home. And it's something, besides that, at my age, I'm looking for friends. Every once in a while, I see one. Every once in a while, I find somebody I went to church with years and years ago. Every once in a while, I find somebody I went to school with. Every once in a while, I find a next door neighbor or somebody. See, when you get up my age and above, then you start looking, because hey, these people could die and you wouldn't know nothing about it.
Yes.
I want to tell you something. When you read those obituaries, you know what? You find just as many 35 and 40,
it,
20, 25, 18. There's no age limit on death. Some days you look in there and it seems like everybody in there is 95 years old. You look at it the next day and everybody in there is under 21. I'm telling you, there's no age limit on death. So don't you sit here and tell me this morning I've got plenty of time. You don't know how much time you've got. You could be dead before this service is over right here today. I mean, people die in church all the time. I've heard of preachers dropping dead in the pulpit more than once. I've heard of musicians, one lady playing the piano, just playing up a storm, just dropped dead right there at the piano keys. This God, death is not a respecter of person, not a respecter of place, not a respecter of age. And when death comes, when your days are up, you're going to die.
Yes.
I'm still looking for Jesus to come for that. But if he don't, that's okay. Don't you worry about me. I'm ready to go, and I'll meet you over yonder.
Bless him.
Bible said that this will happen in due time.
Amen.
In God's time. That's when this is going to happen. And then there's going to be a judgment seat that all God's people got to appear before. When's that going to happen? Right after the rapture takes place. And we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they're good or whether they're bad.
Yes.
Preacher, you believe that? I do believe that. And if I die today, I'll die believing that. I'll die dreading that, because somebody said, boy, we're going to heaven, be happy ever after. No, we're going to judgment. And then after that, we might be happy ever after. We better be prepared, because we're going to face what we've done in this life. I'm telling you, we are. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. That's okay. You go ahead and don't believe it. Don't you make preparations for it. You live your life like it ain't never going to happen. And when it does, well, I probably won't be anywhere around to say I told you so, but I'd sure like to be. It is going to happen. When? In due time. And then God's going to have another judgment for the unsaved. Now the Bible says in the book of Revelation that the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years was completed. When is the dead that died lost going to be judged? Well, it'll be at least 1,000 years after the rest of us. It'll be 1,000 years after we are judged. But listen, we need to be prepared, and we need to be telling people. Brother Woody taught this morning about being a witness. We need to be witnessing to people. Now, I'm telling you something. There may be somebody sitting right here this morning that is going to come to this white throne judgment. You say, preacher, I don't believe in that. Well, I don't care if you believe in it or not. You're not going to change God just by saying I don't believe in it. If you're not saved this morning, let me show you what's going to happen to you. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I know there's going to be a lot of people standing here wish they could flee away too, but they ain't going to be able to. And I saw the dead, small and great. What does that mean? That means I saw servants, and I saw kings. I saw the dead, small and great. And they stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. Now listen, he tells us what that one book is. It's the book of life.
Amen.
But he said first there was books open. What books? I believe it's the Bible.
Yes.
That's my opinion. He said another book, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Listen, God wouldn't be just if he judged us for things we didn't know nothing about. But when the Bible said, thou shalt not commit adultery, you can't run around and say, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that, because the Bible said so. And you will be judged. See, everything the Bible says, you're going to be judged. You're held accountable. One lady said, preacher, I didn't know that before you preached it, so I wasn't accountable. I said, lady, you was accountable because God wrote it nearly 2,000 years ago, and just because you didn't take time to read it does not take away your accountability.
That's right. Preach it, brother.
He said, I saw the sea, gave up the dead which were in them, or in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. I hope that's not anybody in here, but you know something? I wouldn't be surprised. Death and hell. Say, preacher, if I die, I go to hell. Yeah, but when this judgment takes place, you're coming out of hell for just a little while. Death and hell deliver up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. When's this going to happen? Well, in due time. But it'll be at least 1,000 years after the rapture of the church takes place. But that's not going to be much benefit to anybody. Listen, if you die between now and that 1,000-year time period, and if you're here this morning, I promise you, you will. I mean, ain't nobody lived 1,000 years yet. Methuselah lived 969. Ain't nobody made 1,000 yet. So you will be dead. And when you die, you will still go to hell.
Amen.
But he'll bring you out of hell and make you stand before him. You know, the Bible says every knee is going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. I had a man tell me one time, preacher, I ain't bowing to nobody. Oh, yeah. I said, you will. You will, and you won't have any choice in the matter.
Right.
You will bow, and you will confess.
That's right.
But you know something will be too late then.
Right.
Why do we put it off? Why do we put things off until we run out of time? Because I'm going to tell you something. People are not believing what the Bible says. So I've heard Jesus coming all my life. Well, I'm going to tell you something. He's still coming. You say it ain't happened yet. No, it ain't happened yet. But it's still going to. I'm telling you, on the authority of God's Word, it will happen.
Amen.
And I hope and pray, I wish that to think that everybody here is saved. But I don't know your heart this morning. But I know one thing. If I wasn't certain, 100% certain, I would be coming and talking to God and trying to make certain. Because these things that I preached this morning are going to come to pass. Abraham died looking for the promise of God. Do you know something? Abraham does know about the promise that it was fulfilled. Because God told him, He said, every nation on earth is going to be blessed by you. What happened in the 15th chapter or the 16th chapter of Luke when the Bible said that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to where? The bosom of Abraham. See, Abraham is not totally forgotten about. Abraham, I think he got a little bit of insight about everything that's happening. And the rich man died in what? In hell. He lifted up his eyes. And what did he do? He saw Lazarus afar off, comforted in the bosom of Abraham.
Amen.
The promise did come to pass. It wasn't in Abraham's lifetime, but it still came to pass. And every promise that God has made His people is going to come to pass.
Amen.
You can take it to the bank. While they come get a song ready this morning, this is the message. I hope you're saved today. I hope you know you're saved. There's no point in walking around lost without God. I think sometimes, you know, if I wasn't saved, I wouldn't even get an automobile. I wouldn't. There's no way you could get me in an automobile. I mean, well, you'd be all right if you put your seatbelt on. I wouldn't get in there if you give me a seatbelt and a crash helmet and put roll bars in. I'm not getting in there because I may die in there and I'm lost without God. I'm not going to take any chances. Why do people take unnecessary risk, knowing that if life departs them today, they're going to hell? Why do people do that? Think about it. You say, well, I'm not going to take any risk. Well, you could just be in bed and fall out. I've heard people doing that, break your neck falling out of bed. See, when your time comes, I don't care where you are, what you're doing, what you're not doing. When your time comes, your time is here, and you will die.
Amen.
Are you ready to meet the Lord this morning? I want you, everybody here, to ask yourself that question. Am I ready, and do I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if Jesus called my name right now, do you know where you're going? Father, we thank you for giving us the strength to stand, another privilege to preach the Word of God. Lord, I ask you to take this message this morning. Father, we ask you to use it. Lord, convict hearts that may be lost. God, we ask you, Father, to convict sin. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless those that are trying to live for you. God, help us today, whatever the need may be. In Jesus' name, amen. While we stand this morning, while we sing the number, would you come, be honest with God.